So cool. Yeah, love it. I really do. All right. Well, Holy Spirit, please speak to us right now, and we open our hearts, and we're hungry for this discussion, God. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been on this track discussing how his voice is our choice. He's speaking. Whether or not we listen, whether or not we hear is our choice, right? And last week we started a discussion where we were just going through the Bible, just doing it like full-on teacher mode, just checking off the boxes and looking at all of the ways God speaks to or communicates with people in the Bible. And the idea was that we wanted to, by learning how he has communicated to people, we can actually be open to the idea that he might be doing that to us, right? I want to show you something, and this is, you guys probably know this and could quote it backwards and forwards, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm pretty sure I don't have it as a slide, but if I do, I'm just a little bipolar. So he says, Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God. You know this one, right? It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, and it teaches us to do what is right. Everyone knows that. Like in Sunday school, you usually memorize that, right? The next verse, though, is what I really want to grab onto. It is God's way, the word of God, is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants to do. Right? So what we're saying is when we go to this, this is his voice to us, but this is also teaching us how to plug into every good thing he wants to do, and it's here for our benefit. So there's no part of the scripture that we can say, okay, well, that doesn't really apply to me anymore, right? Like, oh, Old Testament, let's go ahead and just like tear that out, all right? Because that doesn't apply, right? And then, oh, the life of Jesus, well, he's Jesus, I'm not, so let's get rid of that. Oh, the book of Acts, oh, they don't do it like that anymore. Prophets, apostles, they're gone, right? And the gifts of the Spirit, oh, they don't apply anymore. Revelations, I never did understand that. And now you're down to like a Bible this big, and I'm wondering, why didn't God just give us a Bible this big if it, the rest of it had nothing to do with us, right? And so what we're doing by diving in and seeing how he spoke to others, we're saying, God, if you spoke to others like that, and if you're using that to equip me for the fullness of every good work you want to do in my life, then I am reading it to understand how you're going to speak to me. And I'm open. I have my hands open. Throw the ball. Right? Thank you, Lord. And we said that God oftentimes will speak through the three different ways. I don't want to limit him, but man, beyond speaking through his word directly to us, and there is no way, I said last week, to really teach that, because if you can read God's word and say God's not speaking to me through his word, then there's something wrong, and I just don't know how to fix that. His word is living and powerful, right? I mean, it comes alive. When he speaks, though, to us, when he's communicating, we often will see it, or we'll hear it, or we'll feel it somehow in our spirit. And he has a way of transcending even physical hearing, physical sight, physical feeling, or he can speak through those things, right? Or a combination thereof. Last week, I keep fidgeting with this, man. My other is out for repair, and it's coming. I can't wait. Where are we at? So we said through seeing, we talked about how in Genesis we saw an example, and in Jeremiah, how God sometimes will point to something natural that's happening, and then when we see it, he'll say, hey, did you notice that? And when we see it, he's like, okay, I'm speaking to you through that, right? And we saw where Abraham was called outside of his tent, and God said, I want you to look up at the stars, count them. How many do you see? And Abraham's like, well, it's too many, and that's right, that's how many children I'm going to give you. Right? That he pointed to something natural and then spoke. Right? He does that. I've had some really strange moments where, like, out of the blue, you see that? That's significant. Just notice that. Well, what is that? Just chill out. Notice that. And then 10 minutes later, that was the thing I needed. That was, like, you know, amazing, amazing times. I'm so on the fence of even sharing this story. Do it? Oh my gosh, it's, all right, huh? Well, because it's painful sometimes. And I don't want to bring you guys down, so please don't think, I don't want you, you promise me if I tell you a story, it's got a little bit of sadness to it, but it's really good, and like, I'm not looking at the sad part, okay? But I want to see, I want you to see the love of God that breaks through, okay? And I wouldn't do it if you didn't say do it. So we were at the hospital. We were had been 2 months, I'm sorry, our second trimester, and we lost a baby, right? And so we were going that day for the process of removing the baby. And it was hard. Like, I'm just telling you, it was a gut-wrenching time for us. Like, you know, and many of you, you've been through that. And so I won't camp in that part of the story, but we were really struggling. And Rach just kept saying, God, I don't know if I'm ready for this, you know? And whatever happens, she kept saying, I don't want to just see that, and I don't want to, you know, my faith to be shaken. And there was just a lot going on in that moment, right? So we get there, and we're ready, and they do the ultrasound, and they're like, there's no baby here, you know? And what do you mean there's no baby here? Well, yeah, there is, right? As we had been walking through the hospital, the Lord was like, look at that doorknob. That is significant. Look at that doorknob. What do you see? It's like, well, I wouldn't do it at a door like that in a hospital. I mean, it's just like, you know, and I'm just like, it looks too easy to pick. Like, you just like literally take like a pocket knife and shove it in, and like the door's going to open. Like, why would, you know? He's like, that's significant. That's stupid. Right? I got other things I want to worry about right now. I mean, like, my heart is broken, and I'm trying to walk with Ray. And anyway, so we're there, and now they're like, okay, why don't you go to the bathroom, and we're going to try this ultrasound again, and we'll figure out what's going on from there. And so I'm just sort of hanging out, chilling with the nurse, waiting for Rach to, you know, finish the bathroom, and this thing in my heart says, get in there. And I just ran down the hall, and I took my knife, I shoved it in the door, boom! She, like, the baby literally came out. They couldn't see it. It came out, and she screams, and I tackle hug her on the toilet, and I'm giving you the gory details for a reason, because she was like, she needed someone there. She was freaking out, right? As every mama should. And I was there to hold her, and my guts are tearing inside, and yet at the same time I'm saying, God, thank you that I could be here on my knees in this moment, and not 5 minutes later and not 5 minutes earlier trying to convince her, come on, let me go to the bathroom with you, right? It was perfect timing for me, and the fact that he said, look at that piddly doorknob, that means nothing to me, right? I'm just so thankful. You know what I'm getting, right? Okay, so please, I wouldn't have shared it, but there are moments where God will point to something. That is significant, and we need to listen. There are times he will help you prevent, like, your kids from getting into stuff they shouldn't, that's not safe. There are times that he will tell you about something at work that's going to happen before it happens, and you have a way of avoiding either being in the middle of it or just prevent it from going down. Save the day, be there like diving, catching before the ball's even thrown, and you're like, how'd you know to be there? Well, one of two things. You're either paranoid or you heard God, right? But, so anyways, look for God to highlight things. I kid you not, there are times where things will actually like almost like he took a highlighter in heaven, went, okay? Or there are times where, and that happens with people, like you'll see people in a crowd and he'll, you see that person? That's the one. And you got to go do like Jesus at the woman at the well. There's a lot of people here, but that's the one I'm supposed to go talk to. Because he highlighted that person. And that's where obedience comes in. And coming out on a limb, stepping out in faith, you know. Some churches actually spell the word faith R-I-S-K. Right? Take a risk and move toward that thing that the Lord has highlighted. And we often say that when you do the step that he's showing you is when the next step opens. So don't expect, please tell me all the points here between this and the end of your decision before moving on this one, right? Faith, step into that one, and when that happens, the next piece will come. What were you going to say?
Yeah. You're talking about the active word of the Most High.
Yes.
Where he is reaching out and directing you specifically.
Yes.
The
Almighty decides he's going to slow you down in traffic and you're getting frustrated. And the whole time he's like, sorry, that's not, I've got you in that traffic snag for a reason. And you just need to be patient. And maybe I'm saving you from an accident or something like that. The Almighty works in that kind of way as well. He just needed some.
He needed a Kleenex. Yeah. I totally identify with that need right now. So very good. Yeah. All right. I won't camp too long on this stuff. We talked about how he shows us pictures or scenes, almost like even movies, moving pictures or still pictures in our heart. We call those, you know, you can might speak to those as being a vision, but it might not be a vision you saw with your eyeballs. You saw it in your heart, right? Open visions, which is you do actually see it with your eyes, if you know what I mean. Like they're like you lose conscious attention of what's happening around you in the real world, and instead you've actually focused on the real world, the, you know, spiritual world, and you're seeing things with your eyes, okay? Those are really cool. Those are not, for me, they don't happen often. If they happen to you often, that's awesome. But be open for this stuff. Part of the reason why I am sharing this stuff with you is almost like if I was the waiter, I've given you a menu, and the Lord is, I'm just sharing with you all the stuff that God can do to speak to you so that you're aware. Put it on your plate and get excited about it and say, yes, Lord. And if you think, well, that's a little weird, well, great, say it to him. Lord, I think it's weird, but I'm open and I want it, right? Okay. Another way we left off here, so this is all new territory now. He can speak through dreams. Ever had the Lord speak to you through a dream? Yes. All right. So dreams are cool, and they're also confusing because sometimes dreams are just weird, right? And dreams are cool because if we didn't dream, we'd actually go insane, they say in science, right? Because it's your brain reprocessing and letting go of information, stress, anxiety, right? It plays it out in some weird format, and then by playing it through, you're able to, okay, I'm done with that. I'm spitting that out, right? And but then the Lord can invade that moment. And if you have a really strange dream, you might find yourself saying, well, is that of God or was that just of me being weird or upset or, right? So when people bring me their dreams, I've had people want to sit me down and give me the 45-minute version of the dream. And the thing I always ask first, I learned this, real quick, is this of God? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I was like, well, then why don't you just sit on it for a while? Right? And ask him to confirm if that was from him or not, right? Now, if it's a short dream and you want to tell me, I mean, we're friends here. We can do that. So please don't think I'm saying don't bug me with your thing. But you know what I'm getting at. Like, I've had people like, just 45 minutes. Now, can you please interpret that? And I'm like, well, first thing I do before I interpret any dream is I always ask, is that of God? And if they can't say, then how am I supposed to come up with an interpretation, right? I don't want to make stuff up. So be just listening for that, watching for that. You know, the wise men in the Christmas story, Matthew 2, verses 10 to 12. There you go, look at that. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They saw the child Jesus with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Awesome. They received an advance warning, something that they were able to prevent because God spoke to them. And why did he choose a dream? Why didn't he just speak to them? So, I don't know. He's God. He gets to communicate any way he wants, right? And I think that's the amazing part of exploring life with God, is that he's so diverse in his communication methods that like you learn to look for him in so many ways, and that makes life, in my opinion, much more adventurous when you're listening all the time, right? Like even at night, I'm thinking about him. I'm interacting in my heart. I'm right. It's cool. Like be open for that. I was having the talk with my son the other day. I woke him up and he was listening to music, you know, just regular old music while he was sleeping. And I was like, man, I'm not telling you this is bad, so please don't hear me saying this is a sinful, bad thing. But I was like, I don't know if I'd waste my time listening to music while you're sleeping. Okay, I'm not repeating all the words exact, but the concept. You know, especially as you're waking up, God can often speak to you. And I would hate to be just listening to music and missing out on what he might be saying. And then, you know, your brain has to download and kind of process and work through all the stuff it's been hearing to get it out, right? And why do you want to waste your time chewing through junk food when you can have God actually share with you stuff? So, you know, he was cool. He's like, oh, you know, that's teenager language for okay. Right? But I'm just throwing it out there. God wants to speak in the night. That's all throughout the Psalms, you'll see that. You know, Dave even says, even as I'm asleep, my heart educates me, it teaches me. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. Another way God can speak to us, besides, you know, beyond dreams, but just be ready to just see Jesus. Okay? Also, be ready to just see angels. You think I'm crazy? Just be ready. I think sometimes we miss stuff. We miss, you know, because we're not looking. You ever walk into a room and just totally missed some details and stuff? We're just not seeing Jesus because we're not looking. Right? And Jesus modeled this life where he said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. So he would look out and see where God was physically moving on a crowd or a person or an instance or a sickness or a moment, and he would only respond to that. Well, how would you respond to something and say, I responded to that because I saw God doing it, if you didn't really see him doing it? You're just making stuff up, right? So we have to look for, where is Jesus? I'm skipping ahead a couple of slides, but in Matthew 18, 19 to 20, you know this one, but I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, what does it say? I am there among them. If he's there among you, let's look for him. Let's look for him. I wish I could move on from this point, but I feel like I need to stay on it for a minute. Jesus wants to be with us, and he wants to reveal himself to us. Jesus wants to model that perfect life of, hey, I'm doing this, and I want you with me. Right? He's not just a go, I send you kind of God, but he's a, hey, come with me, I'm over here kind of God. You know what I mean? So we're doing life with him. Yes, he's sending us, but he's sending us where he already is. Yes? And so we have to be open. We have to be open that, like, some of you, if you're wrestling with the thought that Jesus wants to show himself to you, then that's your problem and you need to fix it. Right? There's a piece of your heart that's doubting that he wants to include you. And if that's the case, if you're like wrestling with something, then you've got an issue, and I'm pointing at it. It's right here. And you've got to grab it and you've got to break it open and say, why do I feel rejected? Why do I feel like Jesus wouldn't show himself? Why do I feel like he just doesn't do that? Right? And the why is going to go to something, a hurt or a rejection or something that's much deeper than just plain, I don't think he wants to do that. Okay? It's the ask yourself why seven levels deep. And as you keep answering it, well, why is that? We'll answer that. And then, well, why is that? You'll get to the bottom. Because I feel rejected by. I feel like, right? I feel not good enough. I feel I don't deserve it. I feel. And Jesus wants to walk right into your feelings and fix them. Yeah. Where do we see this kind of stuff happening? Well, let's look at Daniel 10. So we're actually backing it up. 4 through 7. I love this. Daniel was like, he had such an encounter, he was able to say, it was on April 23rd as I was standing on the bank of the Tigris River. Now he was a, what's the word I'm looking for? He had been captured and removed from his country, and he was now a slave living in Babylon, okay, a captive, an exile. I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning. His eyes flamed like torches. His arms and his feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. And as you begin to watch this story unfold and you see this description, and I'm about to come back to this description in a minute, okay? But you start to realize that Daniel is talking to Jesus roughly 500 years before Jesus was born on the earth, because Jesus is not stuck in time, you know what I mean? Right? So Daniel, in the middle of a horrible, like, he's a captive, he's an exile, is now finding himself talking with Jesus. And I bring it up because I just want to break the whole theology thing. Well, Jesus won't show himself. Yes, he will. You know what I mean? He came outside of time to have this discussion. He even spoke with Abraham to tell him Abraham was going to have a son. I mean, Jesus is all through the Bible, right? And there's no part of that you want to just tear out. Well, that's not for me, that's not for me, that's not for me, that's not for me. Or else just don't read it, right? Revelations 1, 10 to 15. You got that description of Jesus there from Daniel? It's kind of still in your mind? All right, cool. So it was the Lord's day. That was like, you know, Saturday in their day. I was worshiping in the Spirit. That's a huge note right there, okay? He's about to see Jesus, and I just want to make a Lego connection. Put two bricks together. Worshiping in the Spirit, and I encountered Jesus. Catch it? All right. He wasn't like, I was watching Netflix. I was worshiping in the Spirit. I budgeted my time, and I, right? All right. I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. And he said, write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches, right? And I'm skipping to verse 12. Bye-bye.
I'll listen.
Yeah. That's awesome. It has. So I'm jumping down to verse 12. It says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. Do you remember that already from Daniel? His head, his hair were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. Remember Daniel said that? His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. Remember he said that? And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves, right? Like Jesus himself, just he has this heavenly form. When he takes on his warrior form, I mean, his eyes are flaming and he just, like, he's glowing and he's just solid, you know? And there's one place where he puts on a robe and it's dipped in the blood of his enemies. The dude is just cocky, you know? He's brave and he fears no one. And he writes the word King of Kings down his leg, down his robe, and, you know, and he wears it like no one else could. And John got to encounter him like that because he was worshiping in the Spirit and he was allowed to be a messenger to share with seven churches. Like, seven churches would not have been given a message if John hadn't made the time to just worship in the Spirit and take time to actually see Jesus. Do you know what I mean? And why did I go there? Because I'm just taking the commercial break to say how much not only are we missing out, okay? This is not a guilt thing, but how much are we missing out, but how much are other people missing out because we found other stuff and made ourselves busy and didn't go back to the well and just go, like, worship him in the Spirit and just be led of the Spirit to open up our eyes and see Jesus and hear him and know what he's saying, right? There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack. I hope you go home and just, like, wrestle with that a little bit. Not that every time that we go get away with the Lord, we're supposed to be asking, well, you know, what do you want to say to that, you know, like, right? What do you want to say to my wife? Right? No, that's not what I'm getting at. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we're supposed to be listening because he's so generous, not only for ourselves, but that he's got stuff to share to other people. Amen? That's why we are vessels. We're carriers of his glory. Are you with me on this? Okay, cool. So those were some of the ways that we see him. I'm kind of moving over now into areas where we might hear him. I hope this is all informative stuff, but sometimes that we can hear him both with an audible experience where your ears literally heard him say something, and then sometimes he'll give you this still small voice that's just in your heart, in your spirit, if you will, right? And you can honestly say, I didn't see anything. It's not like I saw a picture or a vision. I didn't sense anything other than I just heard this voice speaking deep in my heart, and I knew that was God, right? And that is what leads us to Kathy's favorite verse in John 10:27, where my sheep will listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me, right? There's another translation that says, the voice of a stranger they will not follow, right? And that's where you may not see anything. And that's kind of why I like to just say, listen, let's see if there's a still small voice in your heart that might be speaking. And if so, write it down. And that's why I asked you guys to bring the journals. And, you know, we're going to start, I don't know that I'll do it today because we took so much time with announcements. But we'll start journaling. Please bring keep your Bible and your journal together, and let's do it. We'll start setting maybe a couple minutes in a service to actually write down and listen, and does he say? And it could happen during worship, or it could happen during a moment of silence that we take, but write it down, and if it's something for the group, that we'll share that. Like, we're all going to learn his voice together, and by repeating it and by taking those little risks, those little steps of faith, get it out there, then he can show us more. And the man who's faithful with the little, he makes faithful of much, right? Yes? Cool. Okay. Let's look at some ways that God's voice could speak. Acts 9:3-7, this is the story of Saul, also known as Paul. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, the mission to persecute the church, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was able to speak back to that voice, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Okay? So he wasn't given the whole picture. He was like, get up, go to the city. That's it. Then you'll find the next piece. That's just confirming that he's a God of discovery. He's not a God who just likes to give you the whole download and be like, now don't call me for a week. Gosh. Right? Leave me alone. I got millions of people to speak to here. So Saul stood speechless. I think I would too, for he heard the sound of someone's voice, but he saw no one. So the man with Saul stood speechless. It's funny, if you actually flip over to Acts 22:9, I don't have a slide for this, but Paul further discloses this story where he says the men could hear the voice, they could see the light, but they couldn't understand what the voice was saying. So now God is speaking like in a way that they couldn't understand the language, or if his voice thundered like many waters, it might have just sounded like, you know, to them, and they're like, I hear a voice, but it's so faint and lost in the mighty rush. I don't know. But you get the point. Like it's so cool that God is being so intimate and direct with Saul that he's not even sharing his business with other people, right? I think that's so cool. There are things that the Lord will share that are so private with just you. You know, he's got even a name that you'll receive in heaven, it says, that no one else knows. It's just a name between you and him. Right? That's cool. You know, Rach and I have names for each other that no one else better call me, right? I'll knock you out. No. But she can call me that, right? Because it's based in intimacy, it's based in love, and it's based in relationship, and that's what the Lord is looking for, and that's just a natural picture of a supernatural fact, that there are things he'll share with you, that he'll put on your heart, his small voice, that it's just be listening, you know? And that's why we say write it down in the journal, because if it's worth sharing, it's worth keeping. 10:4? Okay. Let's look at a couple of things here. So 1 John 2:27, So John said, you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives in you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true and it's not a lie. So just as you, as he has taught you, remain fellow in fellowship with Christ. There's this teaching process where he's revealing things to our heart, speaking, right? And he's doing it in oftentimes like breadcrumbs, because he really wants to lead ultimately into deeper relationship. And what's the human tendency when we learn something is to just go off and go, okay, I'm good, I got it, right? I don't need a teacher anymore, I'm an expert now, right? And he wants to be in relationship and to unfold these things, because he doesn't want us to go, okay, I got it, I'm good. There should never be a moment where we're like, I got it. No, you don't, right? Always, always, always depend. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Right? Me too. This is a good one. When you're arrested, everybody's like, yay, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time, for it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. There's a voice in your heart, and it just comes alive, and you speak it back, right? Raise your hand if you've heard that voice, that still small voice, and it gave you direction and you knew. Yeah, this is good, right? This is so cool. Want more of that? Raise your hand if you want more of that. God, I ask that you look for every person with their hand up in the name of Jesus. And I ask that, God, you will be moved by the admission that we want more of your voice in our life. And I pray, God, that you will hear and you will respond and you will make it so. You will remove every obstacle, every distraction from our life, every unsurrendered corner, and God, make it yours so that we can hear you purely, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I love it. This is what we were called to. The world needs this. There are so many lying voices right now speaking prolifically right now across the earth. And we need a people who know, just not even from your own experience, you just need to know truth, you need to know what God is saying, and just speak it, you know? Okay. 2 Samuel 23:2. Samuel said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me, his words are upon my tongue. Love it, right? 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of a man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I love it. You understand that? That carried along, like you get a little bit, you say it. You get a little bit, you say it. You hear a little bit, you say it. And before long, you just realize you've been carried along in this little thing we refer to as the river of life. I think I've heard that before, right? And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, Isaiah says, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, right? It's like, this is a way, I know, I don't know how I know, I just know. He spoke to me and he put it in my heart. And the voice of a stranger I will not listen to. Yep. Cool. Has anybody yet, as we've been just sharing thus far, heard anything from God during this service, and it's worth, for the sake of the whole, sharing it with the body? Yes.
It's kind of long. We'll wait till next week.
Okay. It's not worth sharing? Is it like...
It's worth sharing, but...
Okay. All right, who's got one short? And I will give you the time. I have no problem with that. But if it's long, I'd rather give it the right time. Okay. Okay.
He just said he's very pleased with your heart and where you're going with this. And the people in this audience are catching what you're receiving, what you're giving.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, long ones are cool. We just want to make sure we're making enough time. Thank you. Thanks for the sensitivity. Yeah. This is Megan, everyone.
Hello.
Hi,
Megan. Hi. God's telling me big time to put my phone down. I don't know if anyone else,
yes.
But like, I'm thinking of maybe putting like my Bible or like my devotional like in reach and maybe tucking my phone away, because when the kids give me like 5 seconds or 5 minutes to like think or just sit, it'd be nice to be able to grab my Bible instead of looking on Facebook so I can hear God versus doing whatever on my phone.
Right. Yeah, seeing what someone had for lunch that day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Very good. I've been kind of feeling that myself. Yeah, Amy. This is cool.
So I recently lost one of my really good friends. She had a heart condition, and she passed away. And when you said that people speak to you in your dreams or God speaks to you, I know that she's in heaven because I have seen her in my dreams dancing and singing and being happy and present with God. So
that's cool. And that brings a lot of comfort, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Bye. Thank you, God. Who else? Anybody? No? Okay. You had that look, Aziza. I thought you were going to have something. No? All right. Cool. Well, this is church, right? If you actually read, for any of you who are like, well, I don't know, I think a prophecy or something from the Lord should be brought through someone first, and then if it's right, then it should be brought to the rest of the church. I don't want to hear any of these, like, potentially wrong, half-baked. That's not what 1 Corinthians 12 says. 1 Corinthians says, let one person speak and let the others judge. And so if you've ever thought, you know what, that's not God, and I don't appreciate the fact that that person said, that's fine. Now, you just judged that that wasn't of God, and you survived. You didn't die, right? No harm, no foul, right? You've heard worse on the TV show last night. So relax. I'll get to you in a second. But relax, and let the Lord, let people... Let's give each other enough honor and permission to explore. And here's the big one. Let's give each other enough honor and permission to even make mistakes and to learn. Because sometimes the best way to learn something is to stumble through it, make mistakes, and realize, oh, that's the voice I shouldn't repeat next time. Right? Right? Okay. We all have to filter. All right, man. Thanks.
Yeah, don't muzzle the Spirit. Let the Spirit speak through you. Because that word may be for someone else as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's don't resist the Holy Spirit, right? Some of us were like, well, I don't share in public. And he's like, I didn't ask. Right? Did you make him Lord or did you make him your personal counselor? Right? Are you sure? Because I'm totally willing to break out a piece. All right, here he comes. Here he comes.
So, right here?
You're on camera now.
You're in my spot.
I'm sorry. Here, let me.
So we visited some friends yesterday, Matt and Elise Bleask, and we have these great conversations with them. We're talking about hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing God, and, you know, we're sitting here like, oh, I can't wait to get to worship to feel God. I can't wait to get to the sermon to feel God. I can't wait to get to prayer on Wednesday to feel God. Like, he's here. He was with you this morning. He's going to be with you tomorrow. We don't need to, like, Greg, can you set up a tent in, like, 2 weeks and have a revival? And I'm going to go, and God's going to be there. As long as nothing better comes up for me. Like, oh, I got to go to the dump. Or the kids, I got to bring the kids to, what's that? He will, yeah, but then we get all excited for this stuff. Like, Jesus, he don't need no tent. He doesn't need to wait for, he's going to show up and be like, oh, you ain't got no tent. I'll come back in 2 weeks. God doesn't show up. He's always there. He doesn't need us to make all these provisions. So don't wait for him and expecting, oh, I'm going to, 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever it is, I'm going to jump on prayer and I'm going to feel his presence. Because you're missing out if you're waiting.
You're right. Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Good job. Good job editing it down, too, man. I can't imagine what the unabridged version was like. And COVID taught us a lot about what happens when churches just shut down and now you have to find God for yourself with no feels, right? and worship teams stop producing new songs. And for those of you who are like, I need a new song, right? Sorry, it's just reruns, right? Man, it's not based on those things, although those things are great, right? All right, cool. Last thing, I think we can knock it out quick unless you want me to wait. Let me wait. Do it. Okay, I'm running out of time here. Just pray for your children. So God can also communicate through feelings, through our heart, right? So it's not a voice and it's not a picture or a vision, a movie, if you will, in the heart. It's just this feeling. It's a sense. Some of those who have gone before us, they called them things like a check in your spirit, right? They might have called it a leading of the Holy Spirit. You've heard those words. And there's other words that, you know, an inner knowing. Yes. We were just talking about that last night. Females, man, they have an inner knower. Right? They just know. So Luke 24, verse 30 to 32, talking about the Last Supper. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Their eyes were opened. So this was the two men on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember that story where he walked with them? And so after the resurrection, he's walking. Two men are walking. They're crying about the death of Jesus. And Jesus just shows up. But he doesn't do it in a way they recognize him by face. He's there, but he hid his physical appearance from recognition, okay? And there's a reason for that. We're going to get to it. But he's just walking down the road with them, and he's sharing with them all the scriptures from the Old Testament that pointed to the fact that Jesus was supposed to come, fulfill all these prophecies, die, be resurrected, okay? And these guys are just like, they're downloading all of this Old Testament information. Their minds are being blown, and they're like, man, this is our stop. Would you like to come and have dinner? So Jesus, the stranger Jesus, I'm not positive in that moment that you could see, because he hid his physical recognition. So I'm not positive. It doesn't. Well, he breaks the bread, and he does it like in his typical communion style. Their eyes were open. They recognized him. And then he vanished. And the purpose behind like vanishing and disappearing was he was now beginning to train them to live a life from this moment forward where you will not recognize me by what you see with your eyes. You'll recognize me by the burning of your heart. Right? And that's where they said to each other, verse 32 underlined, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures? It was like it became alive, and physically seeing what they were depend upon, their friend that traveled with them, was less important than following the burning of the heart, the feeling that this is right, God is showing me something, I need to listen, right? It's huge for some of us. Some of us aren't really the people who see visions, or the people who dream dreams or hear things, but man, you have this burning inner knower. You're a feeling kind of person. That's great. Follow that. Now, when I say feelings, that doesn't mean just be blown around by all your emotions. This is different. This is apart from your emotions, and oftentimes it's in contrast to your emotions, right? Paul called it, may you have a peace that passes understanding guarding your mind, right? Your understanding is, I should be freaked out, right? But the peace passes the understanding and guards your heart, and you're like, okay, this is in contrast to where I really want to be right now, yeah? Okay, Acts 16:6, it says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, that's Paul and his team, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I don't even know what that looked like, but they made a plan, they were going, and the Holy Spirit forbid them. We call that a check in your spirit. I just cannot get past this thing. I cannot do this. I need to go this way, right? So it's great to be led by the Holy Spirit. At times he'll be like, follow me, we're going this way. And other times he's like, you're just not going that way. Go somewhere else, right? And that's great. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. And have you ever been checked in your spirit and you just like backed off and didn't go that direction? avoided something? Yeah. Okay. Acts 16:7, the next verse says, "And when they came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." So here, they're literally making a tour through Greece, only they're not stopping at certain places because the Lord was just like, "You're not stopping there. You're not stopping there." Like, that'd be a weird way to do a trip. Where are all the places we're going to see? I don't know, but I could just only tell you the places we're not allowed to see. Right? It's still leadership. It just means we're not in control. We're depending on the Holy Spirit, and that's a good thing, right? Follow the checks in the Spirit. They're important. If you've ever been around a person and there's a thing inside you, it's like, oh, freeze. That's yuck. That's danger. Danger, right? I think we call it stranger danger or something like that, right? Follow that. Follow that check. Moms, follow that. When I was a kid in Florida, you know, snakes were all over the place, right? But man, my mom would be like, watch out playing in the XYZ. She wasn't even a spiritual, like, Holy Ghost person yet. We were Baptists. She'd be like, I got a sense that you're going to see a snake out there. Just stay away from it, right? Sure enough. I mean, it was weird. She had a reputation with us about seeing snakes. Let's just say I didn't tell her about the alligators. in Acts 11, it says, "And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them." This is Peter speaking, making no distinction. "These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house." So the leading of the Holy Spirit didn't tell Peter anything other than, "I just want you to go with these guys." Can you imagine that? Like, just strangers, and you're just like, "I don't really know these guys. I have no, you know, I don't know if they're safe people. And yet the Lord has just told me, just go." Right? I'm almost done, I swear. Romans 8:14 says that all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Right? So let's work it backwards. If you're a son or a daughter of God, then you are led by the Spirit. Should you be open to listening? You can be, you should be, you are to be led of the Spirit. Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So not always will that voice take you to places you want to go. That's why we call it surrender. Right? And then the last one, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That's your inner knower. I just know that I'm a son of God. He never told me, I never saw it. I just know. The Spirit inside of me keeps confirming I'm a son, right? Yes? I think I'm done. I wanted to just kind of spread out, like I said, the menu here of all the ways that he can, what's that? Oh.
He's just confirming that you said you're done.
Yes. You didn't believe me?
I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
I was writing it. I didn't.
Cool. No, I'm done, and I'm sorry, guys. I really did take your time. I promise I won't make a habit of this, but it's important, right, that we see the whole gambit of the way he speaks to us so we don't miss out on anything. I don't want to miss a detail of what God can do in our life. I don't, right? Well, wait. Well, thank you. So can we pray here? And let's just bow our heads and just enter into whatever he's doing. So Father, you know, the first thing I feel led to just point out is this idea that, Lord, hearing your voice is a joy. It's not to be a struggle. And Lord, we're not supposed to be panicked when we feel like we can't hear from you. We're not supposed to be frustrated when we feel like we haven't But Lord, we're just supposed to kind of like let go and let joy be the driver of our encounter with you. God, I ask that your joy would truly be the thing that draws us into deeper communication with you. I ask, God, that not one thing that we heard today would put guilt or condemnation and would make us want to listen because that would be the right thing to do or else feel guilty about it. Lord, just break that off in the name of Jesus. I don't want to enter into your voice out of guilt. Lord, I pray that the love of God will just draw us, that we would hear and sense and feel the voice of the Father reaching out and loving on us, and that our hearts would melt and say, I'm here. I'm all yours. God, if there's any other voice that's trying to push urgency out of condemnation or obedience or just that legalistic hard thing, then Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break that thing right now. Your name is alive and powerful, and we will break legalism every time in the name of Jesus. And we will press in to know you because the voice of God brings love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness, and it draws us. And how can we stay away? And God, I just pray that as we hear your voice, we'll be faithful in the little. God, to obey. We understand that blessing follows obedience. We understand that if we're faithful in little, you make us faithful of much. We understand also that, God, you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so, God, I just pray for faithfulness for each one of us to listen and then to respond. Even if the little thing is so little, it really doesn't make a lot of sense or it seems kind of insignificant. I just ask, Father, that you'll make that thing so significant to us that we will walk in that in faith. And Lord, it will bring us again joy as we take those steps. I ask for just a new release of joy on the people of God. I feel like the world needs to see the joy of the Father pouring through the children of God. And Lord, it's time. I sense it. It's time. Pour out your joy on your people, God. Even in those moments like we saw with Jesus, led out into by the Spirit into the wilderness, even to a temptation, God, that we'd be like, oh, that's my joy to go that direction because you're with me. And Lord, I just ask right now that you'll allow us to be faithful to share and encourage and honor others who in their pursuit to hear your voice. Lord, that we wouldn't be a discouragement, that we wouldn't even husbands and wives wouldn't roll their eyes at each other as we try to take on this exploration, God. But Lord, that we would find joy in it together and encourage. And Lord, I just pray that you will transcend any critical spirit that would try to go over the top and say, that wasn't God. You don't know what you're doing. Oh, Father, we just break that critical thing off right now in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we break off criticism and we say, we will encourage each other to press in and hear and repeat and voice what we've heard from the Father. Amen? His voice is our choice, and we choose you today, Jesus, not the voice of criticism. And we step into an abundant life. We're so thankful that your sheep hear your voice. We know you, and we won't follow any other voice, God. Thank you for holding us to that. In your hand, in your promise, God. We love you. Thank you, Father. We'll follow you all the days of our life, God. You bring us so much joy and peace. We're so grateful to be yours, God. Thank you, Father. Just begin to draw people to Jesus through our life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I didn't pass the mic for prayer just in the spirit of time. But if anybody needs prayer, wants to come up and pray, please come on up and we'll do that. Everyone else, thanks for coming. Go pick up your children. Yeah, thank you.